Together, ready for our study in the Word of God, worship together. Let me just first of all begin by saying, if you missed the early morning, you missed a good one. Kit was on the gospel for a pagan world, and it's going to be in a couple of several, at least, he thinks two parts, but at least two, maybe three. Next Sunday at the early morning, and it'll just be well worth your time. It's coming off of the book that is entitled...
Is Atheism Dead?
Yes, Is Atheism Dead? And it was a really, really good... It's really good, and so I encourage you to get a copy. So there's still some out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And get ready for next Sunday to watch that together, listen to that together. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer and then go into our morning. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. It is alive and powerful. It awakens us to the reality of the world, the reality of our world, the reality of our life. Pray that this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's come together and sing. So what we're going to sing?
Oh, let's see. Number 327. Number 327, which is More About Jesus.
This morning, we're going to be reading the Ephesians, chapter 1, that we're in the midst of studying. So we'll wait for this reading of that at that time. And so let's move into our second song.
Rescue the Perishing, 283. Rescue the Perishing, 283.
First of all, yesterday they had a youthful thing, so how did that go?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. It was up at Texoma Youth Camp in Pottsboro. The young adults, young men and women, college age, came in Thursday by 6 p.m. We had 32 sign up. We ended up with 25 there. We had some with family members in the hospital and just sickness. They arrived from Mississippi, Oklahoma, all over Texas. We had people that brought friends that had come last year. So, I mean, God is at work, and just seeing these young men and women just diving into the Bible, they were so hungry for the Word. They were hungry for other believers that are their age that they can connect with and encourage and pray for. Just had incredible teaching. We did, you know, we started doing our journal. This was kind of a workbook taking them through just observation, interpretation, and going through in the Word. We did the first night as salvation, and really just our theme was follow me, but we said we have to start with salvation, one decision in Jesus Christ for eternity. It's a one-time decision. Now let's talk about follow me as a believer. What does that mean? Many times a day, every day, making the decision to trust the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. And then the last day, which was yesterday, just really letting them talk to each other and encourage each other about Bible studies and churches in their areas when they go back, and just really making sure they're at a church where the truth is taught, seeking out Bible studies where they're in the Word, and just them praying for each other. We had a list of prayer requests up, and they were all took pictures of to be praying for each other and for the ones that weren't there. But I don't want to talk too much. God was in control. God was at work. We were encouraged. Ray and Eric came down from Oklahoma. Larry and Brian were there. Chris and I, Cameron and Addie, were the staff, so to speak. But it was just amazing to see how God is using these young men and women. And hopefully that's an encouragement to you guys. It was such an encouragement.
Beautiful. So,
the pictures were fun. Thank you for posting those.
Emily Martin in Hawaii. She came in from Hawaii. You know, we had Lauren Clemens from Colorado. That was her Christmas present she wanted, was a plane ticket to come in so she could go to Breakthrough.
Wow.
It would just blow you away to see these young adults and just how much they're craving that relationship with the Lord and just
beautiful
seeking Him. But Emily Martin does our Instagram, Martha, and our social media, and Jamie Ward's starting to do that too. So
who was that?
Emily Martin, Hawaii, and then Jamie Ward, who's Ray and Eric's youngest daughter, are starting to work together and make sure we're getting scripture out there and feeding, as well as the pictures and fun stuff like that. So Ryan Wise was there, and many of her friends, and they're freshmen. It didn't matter. Freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors, that you just see that they're leaders in their faith.
Beautiful.
And just stepping in there and working together on that. What am I forgetting, Chris?
The only thing I would add is on Friday night, we were around the campfire, and Ben had brought his guitar and had learned several worship songs, and they were singing together around the campfire and beautiful songs, and I was standing back watching, and from the dining hall, and you could just I thought back to 21 years old Friday night on Christmas break. Was I standing around a campfire singing worship songs and praising the Lord? And the answer was a definitive no. But it was just amazing to watch the beautiful sound of worship being raised by these young people together, and just the joy. And I think that was the thing. I was thinking back to growing up when that was not the modus operandi on a Friday night.
No.
On break in college.
No.
And just watching that and the joy that was there, and seeing that was absolutely awe-inspiring. The Lord was
beautiful.
There. And it was so cool.
Beautiful. What's the next thing?
Slam.
Slam.
Camp is our servant leadership and missions. That's our high school retreats, and that will be April 1st through 3rd. So Leslie, man, she just keeps getting all the stuff out. So she's already got out the application for that. We've had a couple people start signing up for that. And we're praying about maybe a couple of these college kids coming in and helping us with that high school retreat. Martha.
About how many are looking forward to coming to the...
We'll take as many as we can get, probably between 20 and 30.
Good.
Is probably, you know, what we're thinking.
So okay. Do scholarships for the summer one? Do you need scholarships for this one, too?
We did. We had a couple of scholarships this past weekend for maybe two or three out of the 25.
What's the fee?
The cost for this past weekend was $75. We had a request last year from the college students, is there any way we can bring the cost down? It was $125 last year. So that's what took us back up to the old camp. And Larry, Brian, Ray, and Eric, Chris, and I, and Cameron, Addie worked the kitchen. And I think we were all saying, thank you, Leslie and Jerry, all those years.
30 people.
Continue to be thankful as you know, see what that was actually like, that service. But that was a blessing, too, that we got to serve those young men and women that were there.
So what's the cost of the April one?
$125 for the SLAM registration fee for the high schoolers, $125.
Good.
And we do... When we presented the finances for the year, we always know we're going to have a handful of scholarships in each one of these, so we include that in the finances. So if we cover our $12,000 fundraising goal for the year, that will include those finances.
Good.
Well,
any
so.
Chili between now and then?
Yes.
Chili, we're still planning for February. Yeah. If that timing works out and everyone's healthy, the communion the first Sunday. Pastor Maddox, if you're good with that, that's kind of what we've been
planning.
and do that here for Communion Sunday. That first Sunday in February is our plan for the chili.
Very good. All right.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Is that when they're going to be?
Same day, right?
Anyone know?
First weekend in February. First chili Sunday. Cook-off. All right. Sunday. First Sunday.
Okay. In February. All right. So, I'll be hungry by then. That'll be good. All right. Now, any requests or about prayer? Yes.
I've got two.
Two.
One is for Nancy Cooper, Brian's aunt, who we have been praying for. She was about to be placed to a rehab from the hospital, but then she ended up catching urinary tract infection.
My aunt is in the hospital right now, I believe. I think she's going to be discharged today. So our prayer is that my aunt goes to the place where she needs to go.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And then the second one, this is a little bit off track. It has to do with the internet. If you use the livechurch.tv, they have an app called YouVersion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's using an automatic reading like the American Disability Act, the reader.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to find out that the word Job in the book of Job is being pronounced as Job. So, and also God placed me in the background as a business analyst where I used to work with a company mm-hmm. that does something like this at Bank of America. So I'm kind of on a volunteer basis right now, trying to dig into nowadays what we can do to get Apple, Microsoft, and Google to change that. So it's going to be a big hurdle, and I don't know what God has in mind for me in this wheelhouse, but I'm asking for us to pray that this would happen, that it would be corrected, because yeah, I also found out that this is actually the same voice that's used all over.
Okay.
And on every app.
Good. We'll be in prayer. Thank you for telling us. All right. Anything? Any other prayer request? Yes.
That's all right.
Go ahead, Pat.
You're fine. Tana called yesterday, and she had planned on going back January 22nd for her mother to have some major surgery related to her cancer.
Yes.
But her mother's doctor has called her and told her that the cancer is, they did another CT, and it's spread again
mm-hmm.
beyond where they were going to do the surgery. And so now they're going to put her on a regimen of chemo and then look at it again. Tana left yesterday. And I just ask that you lift Vicki, her mother, and Tana up in prayer.
Absolutely.
During this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Keep us posted. Okay. Yes.
Well, I have a huge announcement. You turned 80 today.
It was not my plan.
Happy birthday.
All right. Okay. Now moving on. Our daughter is going for surgery
Friday.
So please be in prayer for Karen and this time. Now, how about Ben and Nick?
Nick is exhausted right now, but he's back in school and is working through things, so he's feeling good, but it's just staying on his regimen of getting his rest and making sure that he's not pushing too hard. So he's back in school and going and has had a great several weeks, which is awesome. I'd say a month and a half now, right? About 5 or 6 weeks. More than that, maybe.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
But, and then Ben is, he's headed back to school next week.
Next week, okay.
Next week he heads back to Texas A&M.
All right. Okay. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
I would just like to lift up in prayer. There were lots of prayer requests this weekend for mental health for friends and siblings of those college students. And that is just, I know y'all know it's prevalent. I mean, it's just everywhere, the mental health issues, which we know is a spiritual issue and just would ask you guys to just be a prayer for these teenagers and young adults just really in the battle.
Okay. Good prayer. All right, any other? All right, people, we have New Year, and you got to take care of things at the church and the internet, the young people. So we have the opportunity and the privilege to support the teaching of the Word of God. So let's go to the offertory. Let's put a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will receive these offerings for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to be studying four powers of God. So for our song today, it was not one we do very often, but it is befitting to what we're studying. So let's get our hymn.
I want you to turn with me to hymn number 154. Hymn number 154. This is a very old song written by Isaac Watts. If you happen to read music, just ignore the music that's written as it's written and sing the words. Just follow the music.
I go to music all the time anyway.
You don't
Let's open the Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we've taken a long time to get this far, but let's see where we are, and we're going to pick up the momentum a little bit in our studies, but let's get to where we have been reading, have been studying in this great book of Ephesians. Now, let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to things he'd have us to see and understand in this great hymn, a great epistle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Word of God, the beginning of time, the flow through time, and right up to today. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are looking at the manifestation of the four powers of God. So we got four in verses 20 and following. So let's go. First of all, one, the work of God the Father in our salvation. So let's read verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us into adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Verse 6 now, to the praise and glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, the thing about the first three or four verses, while it is about salvation, it goes back to the very beginning of the Bible. Now, we've been listening to some really good teaching by Kit in regard to the idea about the idea of salvation, but of the Bible. He started off with Charlie Clough and changed how things are in around 1970, because people don't know the Bible anymore. The day is gone, they say, when most people know the Bible. They don't know the things going on in the Bible. So what Charlie Touch talks about is what the Bible talks about. Paul spoke in Athens about the creation. That's what he started with, not with salvation, but with creation, and developed some things in that regard. We need to know some truths before we even get to the gospel. So the verses 3 through 6 deals with the work of God. Now, verses 7 through 12 deal on the work of God the Son. The work of God the Son. So let's read 7 through 12. 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our transgression according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, in Jesus Christ, with the view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summary, the summness up of all things in Christ. things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. In verse 13, in him, in Jesus Christ, who also after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed you and were sealed in him and with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption to God's own possession of the praise of his glory. Now, we're getting ready in our studies to maybe look at the book of Hebrews. What is so interesting about the Bible, the things that are so important, in the first book, first chapter of Hebrews, it talks about inheritance. We have an inheritance. Every one of us have this inheritance, and it's so important to know it, to know this inheritance. Now, the work of God the Holy Spirit, verse 13, the work of God the Holy Spirit, in him you also, after, let me turn on my eyes, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, in verse 16, the importance of thanksgiving in prayer. So let's look at verse 16. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God, and then in verse 17, prayer of wisdom of the revelation in true knowledge. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit, of wisdom and redemption and revelation in the knowledge of his will. And verse 18 through 19, the prayer of Christian knowledge. Verse 18, I, Paul, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is in the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let's just read verse 19 again. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now, prayer of the four realms and the power of God. Verse 20 begins, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him. There's one of the great powers. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, let's see where we are. Which he brought about in Christ, which he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. These are things that happened to Jesus Christ. So let's note a few things. One.
Question.
Yes.
Redefine the Ephesians. I'm not catching why he is. Is this a powerful church there in Ephesus? Are the Ephesians a powerful church?
Yes. They are powerful believers.
So that's why we're getting this type of discussion at this level, too.
That's right. That's exactly. The book of Ephesians is not about salvation. It's not it about salvation. Chapters 1 through 6, not about salvation. They are about what we have in Christ, and then especially chapter 6, deals with our life as Christians.
So you hold with what Theme pounded at us, that this is how Christians are to live.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yes.
What I'm hung up on is in verse 12, it says that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ, didn't thousands of people in the Old Testament already put their hope in Christ?
This is taking it from the standpoint of the church age.
Oh. They were the first in the church age? Weren't the other apostles before them? Okay.
To the end who were in the first to hope in Christ.
Okay, is he in jail at this juncture?
No.
He is not?
No.
So he's free-forming another letter to a church that he is either visiting or has visited?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm just trying to clarify.
Yes. Good. That's why I wanted to reread it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just thinking about Ephesus when I was there and the magnitude of the city, because I just had no idea the magnitude of the city and all the unbelievers and all the paganists that was going on at that time.
Yeah.
So Paul, to me, when I saw it, God had prepared these people to receive the gospel, because in and of himself, there is no way with the paganism and the things that were going on in Ephesus.
And Ephesus at that time was extremely capitalistic.
Yes.
Very profitable entity.
Yes, very.
Yeah, the Romans were in there and had established, hey, we're here and this is how it's going to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I now understand why he's talking to these people this way.
So, let's look at one. First, the raising up of Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the sole deed of God, totally up to God and by God, that the raising of Jesus on the resurrection is the effect of the power of God, not just for the faith of man, but is above the principalities and powers of all things in all the world and all history. But this power of God is the primary issue in the church as a whole. So now we've just moved to the church. When God raised Jesus, the resurrection isn't in a completely new triumph, new kingdom that had never been before. And the victory is of his creative design. Okay? Now two. This raising up of Jesus also answers the question of mankind. What happens to me after my death? What happens to me? What is so important at this point is not just man's salvation, but the glory of God, salvation, glory of God Himself. Both God's glory, what happened to man is answered in the resurrection, by God. For example, the great question of every human being is found in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So it's dealing with a great deal with death, and therefore it's going to come to Jesus Christ's resurrection. Every time you come to this question, look at first at Ephesians chapter 1:20, deals with the glory of Christ. 3, the power of God stands alone in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, dealing with Romans 4:17, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. The power of God stands with the resurrection in answer to, and the following is the question, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be reading a lot of 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians 15:13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Verse 15, moreover, we are even found to be a false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Now I hope you understand what's going on, verse 15. Let me just be sure you understand it. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses. So if we're false witnesses, because we testify against God and that He raised Christ. We're saying you raised Christ, but He didn't. If that's the summons, that's the idea. Whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. People, the power of God is resurrecting the dead is one of the most important attributes of God. Think about it. For us and our life after death. Now, verse 20 of Ephesians 1, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now, I'm just telling you here that from Dallas Theological Seminary, a man named Marcus Barth, his work on Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, he's got two large books, 1 through 3 and then 4 through 6. Lewis Berry Chafer, Ephesians, and then Alexander Macron, Sermons, preached in Manchester. It's a great book. R.B. Thieme, J. Oswell Sanders, and John F. Wolford, The Millennial Kingdom. So all of this I put together out of what we're getting ready to be looking at in the resurrection. It can be very simple. But now, I've been doing this for too many years, it's time to really get an understanding of it. So let's get to look at that now at the resurrection. Definition. One, there are two returns from the dead. Two returns from the dead. Resuscitation, resurrection. Resuscitation, where a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and eventually dies again. Example, in the Bible of Lazarus, Paul himself, two boys in the Old Testament, Elijah and Moses during the tribulation. Just to give you an example of the resuscitation. Now, the second one is resurrection, where a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption, of incorruption, and never dies again. Okay? Point two. Therefore, resurrection is rising again from the dead in a human body and never again being subject to death. That involves you and me and everybody else. Therefore, resurrection is rising from the dead in a human body and never again being subject to death. Three, resurrection is the beginning of eternity for the person. Resurrection is the beginning of eternity for the person. Four, resurrection is one of the basic doctrines all believers must understand for spiritual growth. Coming from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. But resurrection is a basic doctrine for every believer. Five, anyone who dies during the church age has an interim body in heaven until the resurrection of the church at its rapture. Okay? And then six, resurrection is a New Testament teaching. While it is mentioned in the Old Testament, it did not occur historically until the Christocentric dispensation. That's the Church Age. Yes.
So, good. Herman, is point five? What other body do you get then if you only have that interim body?
Where do I get it?
Well, no, what happens after that?
You get resurrection.
The resurrection. After that is comes the resurrection.
So how is that body different than the interim body?
The interim body is just a body that we can communicate with God at this time, but we're not in a resurrected body. It's in an interim body.
Just a soul?
Huh?
Just your soul.
It's an interim body. Now, let me just quickly add, that's argued and defeated. People argue about it, what it is, what it looks like, how all of that is made, and I didn't go through all of it other than just say there was an interim, a interim meaning in their body from the time of our death until the resurrection. What happens to us in our body, in heaven, between death and resurrection? It's an interim body that we're in.
We leave a human body and go to an interim body.
Yes.
And then we return to a human body?
Yes, come to a resurrected body.
So what's he doing? What happens to the human body when we're out of it?
All right.
Fix, I know why we come to a human body.
All right. The human body spoken of here is our resurrected body. We're in heaven, and we come down. Here we are on earth, and we come up in a resurrected body.
Well, we know the moment we die, our soul is with the Lord.
Yes.
This body is nothing.
And that's why we call it a interim body that people are in during this time frame.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that only for the church age believers, the interim?
Yes. Yes.
So the Old Testament believers...
Do not have it.
Do not have it.
No. They are held, but they don't communicate with God and work with Him as that period of the church. Like, when we die, we function with God. We function right there with God. And then waiting for the rapture and then the resurrection. The Old Testament is just there. His soul is there, but it's not active into God, with God.
You see our soul?
Huh?
You see our soul?
No, we cannot see our soul. That's why he's given a interim body.
Would this old saints be in a place like paradise? I mean, that's their holding, a holding place?
Yes. Paradise? Yes.
No.
Don't go there. Time of transformation, Christ, transfiguration, and appeared was Elijah and Moses.
Yes.
And so what state were they in there? Elijah and Moses.
What were they?
On the mountain.
Oh, okay.
So what state were Moses and Elijah in there?
They were, that would be the word. They are brought into presence with God, with Christ, at that time. But they're not in a resurrected body.
But they are physical.
They were seen,
though.
They were seen.
Yeah.
Yes.
The interim body.
Yeah.
They didn't have one. They don't have one.
Do what?
Is that an interim body?
Well, okay, we could call it that. I have no problem calling it an interim body.
But then they went back to paradise.
Yes. But they were there with God, with Christ, and talked with Christ. They were there with Christ, talked with Christ, and then went back. Okay? In fact, I tell you another one that's just as confusing is in the one I'm thinking about is, well, never mind.
Well, the earthquake, you know, at the crucifixion, right?
Well, what I was thinking was in the beginning of the second period of the Jews. So I'll have to come back to that. Okay.
When the prophets walk among the Jews in the end time.
Do what?
When the prophets come and walk amongst the Jews in the end time, all right, then they're just going to be in a regular old body, walking among their brethren.
Resurrected body.
Resurrected body.
Yes.
Not going to be regular old because it's going to live
no,
forever.
No, be resurrected. That's why I changed it. That's why I changed it. Resurrected body.
What if you can go bass fishing?
Huh?
Don't worry. They'll put you someplace else.
Okay.
Being resurrected.
Okay. I just want to go fishing.
I think if God told us all, we just could not understand. We could not process it with our finite minds. We could not process everything He has stored for us.
The argument about the interim body is going on. And I just use the word interim body for talking to believers at this time frame when they're all dead on this body, but they're alive with Christ. How are they? What is their body? I don't know. We don't know. So therefore, We call it an interim body.
Is there such a term as the third heaven?
Third heaven, yes.
And is that where everybody goes?
Yes, believers.
And when they're dead, they're in
yes.
the third heaven?
Yes.
Because you said that about my mom.
Yes, yes, the third heaven. So what the body is like, the interim body, mm-hmm. I do not know. We do not know. We're not told. And the word interim body is just used to say the human person at this time with Christ was in an interim body. You don't like that? I don't argue with you. Doesn't that? We're not told. But I am told, we are told, they do talk to Christ. They do talk. They're known. They're known by each other. You'll know each other in it. But what it is like, I don't know. It is not the resurrected body, because we're going to get that at the resurrection. So we're not resurrected at that point, but we are alive with Christ and communicating with Christ.
That's the important distinction, Herman. It's not a term in the Bible. It doesn't say interim Bible,
no.
interim body, anywhere
no.
in the Bible.
It does not say.
The supposition is our soul must have a house.
Yeah.
And when our body dies, our physical body dies, we don't have our resurrection body yet, because that happens at the resurrection
rapture
of the church. So, therefore, we come to the conclusion, it's got to be in something.
It's a conclusion.
Either there A is an interim body, or B, it can be fine just by itself.
Whatever you like. Yeah. Whatever you like.
Whichever you like.
Yeah. Okay? Does that help? Dealing with the interim.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. Let's see. We're now looking at Roman numeral 2, the sovereignty of God and physical death. The sovereignty of God and physical death. Our physical death and the sovereignty of God. 1, while the believer has control over his life in the execution of the life on earth, he has no control over the manner or time of his physical death, parentheses, suicide. Suicide changes that. But most of us do not have that right, that knowledge, that ability. He has a very little control over his life, except, as I said, through suicide. Neither does he have any control over the manner or time of the resurrection. Neither does he have any control over the manner or time of the resurrection. We're up there with heaven, with him, and in some kind of interim body. Something up there. See? And then we'll wait for the resurrection. We come down and meet and join the Holy Spirit and resurrected, and have a resurrected body.
I have a visual of you in a tracksuit up there.
I'm sorry?
I want my dog.
Yeah. She said she has a visual of you in a tracksuit.
That isn't nice. Okay, so everyone is in that position. Now, point 2. The death of the believer is always a matter of the wisdom and sovereignty of God. The death of the believer is always a matter of the wisdom and sovereignty of God. Teenager, young person, middle-aged, whatever. And then you get really old. Okay, come on, God, anytime. But it's up to his wisdom and sovereignty according to his plan. Any problem? Okay. 3, again, apart from being alive during the rapture of the church, all believers will experience physical death. Every one of us will experience it, except, of course, for that one generation of the rapture. Four, the manner of our physical death is a matter of divine wisdom and omniscience. The manner of our physical death is a matter of divine wisdom and omniscience. The death of the believer is always God's victory. Victory. Your death, death of any believer, is a victory of God. The type of believer makes no difference at all going to heaven. Distinction among believers is not made until the judgment seat of Christ. We're all the same. The resurrection. Okay? Alright? Five. Therefore, the death of the believer is always God's victory. The death of the believer is a victory to God. The believer's death means he is absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. Don't know what kind of body, but he's face to face with the Lord. All right? Death always comes at the exact right time. When people you love died, it was God's perfect timing. They may be very young, maybe teenagers, young people, whatever. It's perfect time in God's selection. And finally, six, believers, be they winners or losers spiritually, die by the decision of God. God chose the time and manner believers die. Of course, suicide is set aside to that. But in the principle, we're all, God is going to decide when we die, how we die. This has a lot of problems with people in the world today, even with Christians, with some old person. Why don't they get just to go ahead and die, take their own life, this type of thing? No, it's God's glory. God has things to say. God has things to do. So it is His timing, it is to His glory. It is not our worry and problem. Yes?
In the case of suicide, doesn't He have sovereignty over the moment you die?
Doesn't what?
I mean, doesn't God have sovereignty over the moment?
Oh, absolutely. Many people have tried to work suicide and didn't make it.
I got you. Many. He allows it somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are a lot of people who try to take their own life and they blow it. They miss it. And God isn't ready for them to go home. Others, boom, go home. In the war. You can be in a battle and it's over. Just a matter of being shot. You lose out. Okay. Three. Resurrection in the Word of God. Let me see here. Resurrection in the Word of God. Let's begin that next Sunday, the resurrection in the Word of God. So we've taken the 3 points. Now we're moving to resurrection in the Word of God. There are three general resurrections, and that's where we'll begin next Sunday. Any other problems about what we've gone through that didn't get answered?
Elijah, Moses.
Yes.
Will be resuscitated in the tribulation. That's what I've read from that statement. Is that? I don't know this.
That is the best that we can say.
Okay.
That's the best that
they will physically die in the. Or will. They're going to die in the tribulation and then be...
Well, they die and then they come.
All right, we've got two different settings going on. The one at Jesus Christ's life. And there are two there. Then in the Revelation, they will die. They will die there again.
Okay.
Now, at Jesus Christ, we're not told. We're not told. Just, God probably just took them home. Took them out.
Gotcha.
I was just thinking, I think the thing that God is showing when they die, when Elijah and Moses, everybody's watching, probably on every TV in the whole world.
Yes.
And then they die, and then they come back.
Yeah.
So showing his power, what he says. But I have another comment. With my mom and my dad, when they were beat up, about this time, 7-8 years ago, and I kept asking God why. I just could not understand. And the realization that's hit me through all of these years is they glorified God in all of that. And I think our family glorified God. Instead of getting mad and angry, every single nephew, grandchild glorified God. And it just kind of came to me that, because I didn't know why. I just kept asking God, why? And it just hit me.
And that should happen.
And our family grew up.
What happened to them should happen to every one of us at that time when people we love die. Glorify God.
No matter how they go.
No matter how.
Yeah.
No matter how.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, so we will resume at this time next Sunday. Let's close in a word of prayer. Your power to bring back your son into eternal life at the resurrection. That is such comfort for us. Such comfort to us. That this is going to happen to us at the rapture of the church. We thank you, Father, for things you've told us. What we do not understand, we trust you. What we do not understand and know, we know that you know and you're in control of it. And we trust you. Father, I pray you can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.